what was expected in terms of today's program. And secondly, we would then adopt minutes that are outstanding and deal with other matters that we feel that should be dealt with today. But before we do that, let us listen to apologies that have been forwarded and then get to what we were supposed to be doing today, which unfortunately we are not going to be able to do.
Good morning, Honourable Members. There is one apology from Honourable Mathebe. She apologized due to the fact that she is not feeling well. And Honourable Bikane apologized that she will be arriving a bit late. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. In terms of the program, today we were supposed to be making a follow-up on matter relating to the Orkney and Grootvlei mines run by Aurora Empowerment Systems. We were going to listen as well to the provisional liquidators who are handling the matter at the behest of the Master of High Court. We were also going to be listening to them interrogating the presentations that were made by the labor movement such as NUM and Solidarity. Now, we had a to and from correspondence with the stakeholders. We received a letter which is dated 11 August, which we received it on Monday. Did you receive it on Monday, not that, the 15th? On Friday, dated 11. When was the 11? It was Wednesday. Okay, and they sent it on Friday evening. So you received it on Monday. Well, the letter is from the lawyers, John Walker Attenis. It reads as follows: invitation to a continuation of the briefing on development and crisis in the operations in Orkney and Grootvlei mines. One, we record that we act on behalf of the joint provisional liquidators of the Pamozi group of companies being Mithras, J.F. Engelbrecht, D. Porter, B. Peterson, and A. Pennell. We refer you to your invitation dated 10 August 2011, addressed to our client Engelbrecht. We are instructed by our clients that although they take heed of your invitation, they are unfortunately precluded by law and circumstance to accept it. Three, we are instructed to inform you that one, our clients are respondents to a High Court application launched by Electronic Media Networks Limited under case number 42787/11, which matter has been enrolled for hearing on the 17th instant in the North Gauteng High Court. So which means today they are appearing in the North Gauteng High Court. The aforesaid application has been launched on behalf of the media program Carte Blanche, who seek media access to the inquiry into the affairs of the Pamozi group of companies as ordered by the Master of the High Court in terms of Section 417 and 418 of the Companies Act. The inquiry has been ordered into the affairs trade and dealings of Pamodzi and include companies' business dealings with Aurora Empowerment Systems. In terms of Section 417 of Companies Act, only the Master of High Court or High Court itself can declare any portion of matter dealt with by the inquiry to be released in the public domain. The hearings you hold are open to the public and therefore falls within the ambit of this provision. In light of the foregoing, our clients will be unable to attend the sitting of the Portfolio Committee on the 17th instant. Firstly, as they are due to appear in the North Gauteng High Court on that day, and secondly, as they are precluded by law from dealing publicly with any issue forming the subject matter of an insolvency inquiry unless the Master of the High Court or the High Court itself directs otherwise. We are therefore instructed by our clients that the previous attendance, listen to this, the previous attendance by Mr. Motala, purportedly on behalf of the joint provisional liquidators, was not sanctioned by them, and that Mr. Motala's representations to you, whatever they were, did not occur with our clients. We record that our clients have, however, liaised extensively with the Department of Water Affairs and Labour in relation to the potential environmental and socio-economic impact resulting from the liquidation of Pamodzi and its subsequent takeover by Aurora Empowerment System during the subsistence of the interim trade and contract mining agreement. If it will satisfy you for the time being, and should you so request, our clients are more than willing to provide you with copies of the correspondence exchanged in this regard. We trust this clarifies our client's position, and we will welcome any inquiries you may have. Yours faithfully, Joint Worker Attorney. That's the first letter clarifying the absence of the provisional liquidators in this meeting. The other one is the email sent on the 15th of August at 1:19 p.m. Dear Ms. Kak, we refer to your email, and wish to advise that unfortunately we are not able to attend due to the Pamodzi gold mining operation being taken back by the joint provisional liquidators on the 26th of May 2011. Aurora thus does not have any say in the future running of the mine. We are addressing the issue of outstanding salaries and will be in a position to resolve the balance within the next 3 weeks. We trust that the above is in order. This is now from Vanessa on behalf of Aurora Empowerment. Now, as a result of this unavailability of these two main players, with the letters that they have written to us, clearly we would not be able to go ahead with our planned interaction with this group. But I think we should not leave it at that. We would then have to take our own decision, because the first one letter from the attorney basically raises questions more than answers, and in a way nullifying whatever information was shared with us by the Motala, Mr. Motala, who claimed at the time to be speaking on behalf of the other liquidator. And of course, some of the liquidators were present in the meeting. And therefore, it raises some doubts. But also, genuinely, they are saying that they are appearing in court today. But what worries me mostly is that they are not making a commitment to come at a later date. suffice to say that they believe these matters are not for public consumption, unless and until they are so decided by the Master of High Court. But let me hear your views, because surely we need to respond to both of them. When it comes to Aurora Empowerment Systems, they still have to talk to us about even what they are saying here, they are addressing. So let me hear your views, and then we'll take a decision around the two entities that were supposed to be addressing us today. Yes, let me open the floor. Honorable Lucas?
I say, there is a court hearing today.
Yes. Sir?
There is a court hearing today.
Yes.
And I think that is a good enough reason for not being here.
Mm.
However, the rest of the contents of that letter mentioned other issues, which I'm not sure whether they're relevant or not. And will it be possible for us to get a copy of those letters? So one could read it and try and get more understanding.
All right, we'll make those available. All right.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry for being late. Chairperson, I think with the issue of them not indicating as to whether they'll be available in the future or not, should not stop the chair or the committee per se from requesting their visit or letting them know our expectation in terms of them still having to appear before us. Because if you remember correctly, the last time we met them, for one, we didn't finish because of long presentations.
Mm-hmm.
And we were unable to engage over the report that we had received then. So based on that, I think they still have owe us an explanation in whatever format they would be in, because we know that at some stage the liquidator was also fired. Secondly, Chair, I think irrespective of whether they've changed form or whatever else has happened, the bottom line is that they were still part of the issues relating to the workers. What happens to the workers in terms of the payments owed to them? And we saw the presentations from Solidarity and NUM indicating what complications they also had of their own people in terms of responsibilities that were supposed to be taken up by Aurora. So in that light, with an indication that we still need a meeting with them, a letter should be written to them, and they should respond in terms of when they would be available at a suitable date agreed upon with yourself as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Soto, Honorable Mare.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to add on this, it's good that they are appearing in court today, but I think more clarity is needed on who's fooling who in this room. Because Mr. Mutala came to make a presentation, a lengthy presentation here. Now that presentation is being rubbished now. Now we need to understand who's representing who and who is doing what in this entire program. So I think a follow-up by us as the committee is needed quite urgently. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Marek.
I don't want to repeat, I just support what the two members have said, that we must answer later and request as soon as possible. And I want clarity on the specifically the mine workers' finances we have
standing. Thank you very much. I think what I remember is we need to be strong on this matter, because the letter from the lawyers, apart from the legitimate reason of them appearing in court today, they're raising worrying issues in their letter. And this is the reason why they need to be the provisional liquidators need to be compelled to come here, because the matter has been in their hands for something like 3 years now, and we're talking about lives of people, and we didn't just handle this matter for the sake of handling it. We basically, it was raised by members of the public who are directly affected, and therefore it is within our right to know what is going on. If you would remember, even when we started engaging on this matter, we said what we want to clarify and take decisions on is what monies are owed to these workers by whom, and when will they be paid. And that's why we have Department of Labor here, who is administering some of these funds. Here now, Aurora says they will settle within 3 weeks. In that meeting, when was it? May? April? They said that they've got money available and they are ready to pay. That was in April already. And now in their letter, they're saying in 3 weeks' time. How many months have lapsed before they could have done that? And indeed, even at that time, they were pushed through compliance order by the court sought by Department of Labor. So they still have to come back and tell us, jointly with the unions, what is owed to who and is it payable or not. We'll find a date within the program to deal with that. But also secondly, if you remember, one of the reasons was that we want to prevent the reoccurrence of this similar situation and also ensure that instead of these jobs being shared, these jobs are preserved in the two mines, and that into the future we don't want to see a similar situation again. Therefore, it meant that we needed to then, once we got all the information at our disposal, to look at what are the provisions of the law. What does the law say in this matter? Because it has been simply a ball thrown between DMR, Labour, Water Affairs, and you at the end not sure who exactly is responsible for what. When you talk to DMR, they will say, no, it's matters of compliance with Labour dispensation, and therefore it's not our responsibility. We did what we could. We've put the mines under maintenance and care, which means they were not allowed to produce. But then is that enough? Because they were still holding a mining license and there were people that were employed. Now, we have seen also that there are some developments since we met them in April. One is that Motala, Mr. Motala and the other gentlemen were removed from the provisional liquidators by the Master of High Court, for whatever reason, which also are the reasons that we're concerned with, because keeping on extending the period in terms of what needs to be done by these two mines, and application by the provisional liquidators being submitted to the Master of High Court and extensions being granted, it meant that the matter was prolonged. Maybe with good reasons, we don't know, or unnecessarily. But also, what happened as well is that the new provisional liquidators that were so appointed by the Master of High Court then terminated the contract with Aurora Management System. And they've taken back the duration of those two mines into their own hands. We don't know what then happened in between. But also lately we are informed through media that there is a new venture, a new BEE in partnership with Chinese that is now, you know, bidding to take over the two assets. And that their intention is to inject a sum of 1 billion rand as an investment to basically get the two mines into operation. Understanding very well that the capital layout that is required there is quite huge. So the Chinese company and this BE grouping are now prepared to then take over. And the matter is now before the authorities for for them to approve, you know, the deal. We want to know that. And the indication is that some of over 2,500 jobs will now be preserved, in which case it means people who have been working there, who have not been paid, who have been technically laid off, will now be rehired. Did Aurora, you know, did these two mines, Ogni and Grootvlei, employ 2,500, or was it more than 5,000 people that were employed? What happened to the balance? Are they intending, when they are up in the, when they are in operation, to employ all of those? Those are questions that they still need to come and answer us. But most importantly, writing back to them, we need to quote the provisions of the Constitution and quote the relevant laws, that we want them to appear before us, whatever the processes are in terms of what is happening in the courts. Because the court case that they are defending is about having these matters in the public domain. They are in the public domain in any event. The Aurora issue has been, you know, reported by media through and through. It's just maybe a technicality that the judge is asked to confirm or deny. But be that as it may, they started the process with us, they must continue that process with us so that we get an understanding of what is going on. So I would think that that would be, if this, that is the first summary, would close the matter at that. But if there are still further comments, Honor will be that.
Chairman, I just wanted us to note also the matter of importance. You know, the environmental complications that were created there, because if you remember at some stage, the chairperson of environment was also once at some stage involved in the whole thing. The environmental complications that were created by the situation should be noted, and that also should be known as to what is the resolution that has been taken in terms of resolving that. Because at some stage, if you remember, the electricity and water cuts, they couldn't use their bathrooms and toilets and so on. The other matter is the living conditions of the people presently, which is also creating a bigger hazard, on top of the fact that we are not hearing at the end of the day what are mine owners doing in terms of living conditions of people in relation to housing and so on. That we shouldn't leave the environmental issues out. And then we also have the issue of the hole that they were working on having a risk of water that is rising. We should know what is happening to that rising water and if there's any danger that is going to be experienced possibly in future, and what resolutions has also been taken to try and curb that. I just thought that we should add that.
Honorable Lucas?
I must say that I think you will know that about the employees, to me it's very because they've suffered more than anyone else. They've been staying there, the children haven't been able to go to school, the health situation is not right. There's so many things, things that have been removed from them. But however, why I was saying we should wait until after the case, is that maybe this will be some development. So if you write a letter now, before you hear the result of this today, or tomorrow, or Monday, we may be missing something. So I was going to say that let's get the results of the hearing and then we react to it. But don't say put this under the blanket. We must come out into the open. It must seriously come out to the open.
Thank you. Would that be all, Honourable Members? Any other comments? All right. We close that matter as such, and we will see when to create space for them in the program. It will definitely be sometime, most probably around September. Now, again, members, within the program, we've got an oversight visit from the 5th to the 9th of September to Limpopo. So so far we are in the process of identifying the relevant mine that we must visit. But if you remember, we've taken a decision that we need to visit Sekukuna as the region because of the situation in that particular region. And we are told of one mine so far, Motigwa mine in Bekaswat. If there are any other suggestions, please let us know, because tomorrow we would want to be communicating with those mining companies where we are going to be looking at the compliance to the MRDA, the compliance to the Mine Health and Safety Act, the compliance to the transformation in the main, the mining charter, and its code of practice. And indeed, in the process, as we normally do, we will interact with communities and also listen to their views in terms of what is happening, the communities and workers, in meeting also management and directors that would be available to brief us, and we go into the actual mines themselves and see for ourselves what is developing. So we would be open to suggestions. If you have suggestions now, let's look at those. 5 to the 9 will constitute a week. So which means we can handle something like 3 mines in the Sekukuna region. Honorable Matibela and Honorable Figan.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I wonder if there can be space for the mine that's in Krobledal Maloskop, because I think people are being taken for a ride in that mine. Thank you.
Do you know his name?
What is it called now?
Krobledal Maloskop.
Maloskop. Maloskop.
Maloskop. Is it in Sekukuna?
Yes.
Mm. Okay.
Not far from Robert Dalton.
Okay. Thank you. Any other suggestion on the third mine, Honorable Bigani?
Sure, I don't know if what I'm going to say is going to be of value, but I think it's of importance that we actually also sometimes visit where there's been a success story, especially with people who passed through the committee. Like the mine of the, I don't know what to call it, the royalty mine, I don't call it the Kalani's mine. The, I don't know what the mine is called, but if it's not west, then it's not going to fit the picture. But I was thinking of a situation where we actually go and witness one of the people's minds that have passed through the committee just to see what the improvements are. And I think at some stage also there was a complaint of a hidden something, a dam or something, hiding a mine or something like that. And I never really got to know what happened to that problem. I just thought that perhaps we should look into something like of that nature. Change. It might not be appropriate. No.
Yeah, well, I think let's keep it in our programs, all these places. Unfortunately, the Daum, community that you are referring to is in Northwest. And I don't know what are the distances. It might be a challenge. It might be too far apart. But, of course, we may want to use a particular Thursday and a Friday to visit those mine communities. You see, honorable members, it's going to be very important for us to be interacting more often with the mining community and the mine houses themselves, and very much important. You see some of the mines, in line with what Honorable Began is raising, we've seen also in the past week, the deputy president was invited to cut a ribbon on a road built by two mines. I think it was in Limpopo province. I don't know where, which part. Was it Kokodiland? Let's pay a visit to that road and look at those two mines. I don't know the details, but we will have to check. Whilst we are in Limpopo, we can even use half a day to go and visit that road and interact with people and see, because those success stories would encourage other minds to do more in terms of what they are expected to do. So we'll have to find that out and be in a position to drop by, even if we don't go to the actual mine in terms of testing what you are testing, but indeed to go and see what successes were there. That's important. So we've got two mines, the Modikwa mine, the Krobestal, Yes. All right. Okay. So if you think of any other mind, then shout. But we want to complete this pretty soon. Next week, we know that we have got public hearings on the mining charter. And the list is quite long in terms of those that would want to come and address us. Firstly, we want DMR to refresh us on how far have they been able to deal with the matter of transformation, the mining charter, Chamber of Mines, which Chamber of Mines can also send us individual companies to come and, you know, tell us what is it that they're doing. Their success stories, again, companies are different in terms of their what you call. We will also invite NUM, we'll invite Solidarity, we'll invite SAMDA, we'll invite SAWIMA, and also we'll specifically invite other women groupings operational in the mine, given the fact that we are in the month of women. So we would need to have women groupings from Northern Cape, from Mpumalanga, from Western Cape, from Free State to come and address us. We would also invite formations such as COSATU, but also we would have to invite mining communities, because mining charter is about, and it should impact upon mining communities themselves. So we would invite people from Northern Cape, from Northwest, from Limpopo, and at least this should take us to through in terms of the 2 days that we have set aside. But if there's a special group that you believe we should invite, be it mining community, be it labor sending areas, be it small scale miners, be it big companies, the list is still open. Honorable Lucas?
In case there is, there's two areas. One in the Dundee area, there used to be some gold mining there, and the government was, the department was supposed to do something, and I think they have done that. It would be good to talk to the department to see whether it could be from that area. In Newcastle, there was actually going under the houses to take out coal.
So maybe we
invite the community there, or we invite the small scale miners, or
I think the small scale miners.
KZN, you say Dundee area. Newcastle. Would you provide the secretariat with the contact detail? Thank you very much. Any other suggestion, Honorable Murray?
Can I just ask something on the program, sir? We already spoken about the oversight visit in Limpopo, and we're busy with that as well. Is there a restriction by the chair of chairs in the number of people that could go, as previously to the Northern Cape it was actually restricted to 4? Just information on that. And then do you have maybe additional information on the People's Assembly scheduled for the 22nd to the 23rd of September?
Has there been a response on this oversight?
No response yet.
We don't know whether it's approved or not. We will follow up. Well, what assembly are you talking about? Or 22nd to the 23rd. Mm-hmm. What is your question around that?
Yeah,
no, not necessarily. No. He is not even
permission.
What we will do, Secretariat must check for us because these are the dates that are inserted in the program, which are centrally planned. For instance, this inter-legislature workshop on MTG, it's now changed to 5 and 7. It's collapsed to the seminar. Now, the problem is that there are no details here of where is this taking place, who is supposed to attend. So I think you put this thing here, we need more flesh in it. It was now the 22 to 23 September, and there's 26 to 7 October for that constituency period. Yeah. Now we will find the relevant information on all these matters. Even whether there was Women's Parliament on the 9th of August, which I doubt, I've seen something to 21st to the 23rd of August. Yes. So let's hope it doesn't clash, or no, it won't clash with us.
Yeah.
21st to the 23rd, that's Women's Parliament, and all members, I would hope. But find the information in terms of all of this, so that you are able to know exactly what's going on where, and circulate that. Any other comments on the members? All right.
Yes. You know, we once went out to visit the illegal gold mining, and then they said it was going to go to the police, and we haven't had feedback on it because it's a little bit to the opposite. If there's no market for what you feel, you cannot continue stealing. And the same thing with the gold. The only stealing is because they need a market. And this market is people that we scared to venture. Because even when we were in Barbados, they said, yes, we know who they are. Just give us the name. Hey, no, we're scared. So are we going to leave it at that, or are we going to continue to see what's happening? Because we must destroy that market. And the market is from the top. It's the rich people.
Well, what we would do is to then ask for an update from the ministry on this matter. We've given it the space this long to allow the security cluster to do its work. And the decision was that we take it out of the public domain for a moment, so that the strategies that would be employed by that task team would then not be, you know, communicated beforehand. But I think the important thing for us is to check whether do we still have prevalence of the illegal mining. For instance, it was quite prevalent in areas such as Barberton and Valco. Now let's maybe find out whether that is still the case, and because we would be very concerned if there's escalation of illegal mining. But if the strategy has worked and it has also dealt decisively with this, you know, phenomenon of illegal mining, then we would need to be appraised. Not going into details in terms of what strategies have they employed, what is it that they are doing into the future. So we would just have also to find out, whilst we will be asking the ministry to update us on the status quo in relation to that. But also we need to find out ourselves, you know, whether that is still the case. Yeah, fine, we'll take that into account. All right? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we will be going to Skukuni one day, we must make sure that we live in Ghana.
Can you press your...
Oh. I was saying we must make sure that we win this Gandhi thing, a retired veteran. Gandhi Meng is no longer belongs to ANC, but it belongs to people of South Africa. He fought all the battles of liberation for South Africa. So we can't be in this area and pretend that we don't know that he belongs.
appropriate to do that here, or maybe I'll do it from that day in the pump.
something, I wanted to find out about something about you, Ngadimen. I don't know whether it's appropriate for me to ask here or find out when we go there. About, I heard Honorable Jani saying that he, not on in the I had to say that it belongs to the
he says he doesn't belong only to the ANC. It belongs to the country because of the work he has done and because of the position that he is occupying right now as a veteran. So you wanted us to talk about his membership. Yeah. All right. Anything else, honorable member? Okay. Just before we then go to the search of minutes, I just want to alert you that also we'll follow the same pattern when it comes to beneficiation strategy. And I think the Secretariat must make sure that we get the venues, both for the mining charter and for beneficiation public hearing. We were always approached when we were using these venues and be told that public hearing take precedence. So by now we should have a venue so that when we invite these people, others are already making inquiries on their own, but you can't tell them where is the meeting going to take place. And it's quite a serious situation on our part, because these programs are public documents, and indeed people come across them, and then they inquire. So we need to secure these venues as a matter of agency. Now, we've got a letter here from the Portfolio Committee on Labour making a follow-up. They are inviting us to the briefing by the Department of Labour and Interdepartmental Task Team. The letter reads, on the 14th of June 2011, the Portfolio Committee on Labour and of Mineral Resources resolved that the Department of Labour, together with the Interdepartmental Task Team, should be called to brief both committees on the progress made towards payment of ex-mine workers. This is an attempt by both committees to find closure, as the matter has been outstanding for a long time. In view of this, the Portfolio Committee of Labour once again invites Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources to the meeting scheduled as follows, Tuesday the 23rd, time is 10 until 1300. The agenda is the briefing by the Department of Labour and Interdepartmental Task Team on the progress made towards payment of ex-mine workers. The venue is this one, M514, 5th floor Max Building. That's next Tuesday. You would recall that we have been handling this matter jointly with the Portfolio Committee on Labour. So we are expected here at 10 on Tuesday. I know that some of you have got other committees that will be sitting, but some of you will be available to be here on that on Tuesday, so that we can address this matter of the ex-mine workers once and for all. All right, any comments on our members?
I said it's just not fair that because the money is there, and you just cannot give the people who are working. Lucky we got our ad hoc chairperson with us. And that committee, it was stated that I thought it was finished and the people were going to be organized. But after all these years, we can't stay 1 month without our salary. How we expect the people to, for years, really sad.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment about that because I know the last meeting was just about the old one was left there. You know, the issue of the task team that had been established based on the conditions that we'd agreed upon, they didn't keep up to their promise. They didn't even turn up on that particular day to ensure that there had been progress made. So they themselves are actually dilly-dallying around getting to the problem being resolved, because at some stage there was an indication that there has been a reduction in the number of people who have not yet been paid. But when you start asking for records and an indication as to how far is the process, you couldn't get a clear indication of that. So one points to the other one, and the other one points to the other one who's not there. So I think the approach also, when we do go to these people now in the next week, should be an issue of a continuity from the previous, from the last meeting that we had with them in Good Hope. The other thing that we noticed, Chair, this thing suddenly now has been turned into a project. They made some presentation here about there about the project, the budget concerned, and so on. Although there were no clear time frames, no clear guidelines, no clear strategy as to what is going to be done, it still was a project that was actually excluding the departmental part of the task team. So there is an indication that from the departmental part that all matters are taken seriously. I hope when we meet them now next week, there will be a continuation as from the last time that we had met them. And if not, we should come with a resolution as to what sanctions should start being implemented, because they are just stalling and wasting a lot of time, and now coming to claim that this is a project of a budget that doesn't seem to end. Because the next thing we're going to be facing is that that budget that is being supposedly now a project is going to end up being misused. And we are wasting time unnecessarily on, it's no longer the numbers that we were talking about. It sounds like it's a few people, because and the few people concerned are the people who could not be traced. That is where they were supposed to get a solution from. So I just really hope that from Labour's side, at least they'll be able to see that we make progress in terms of this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Indeed, this is a serious matter that hopefully the entities concerned will be present, because they are reportedly huge sums of money that are under remission, and the only problem and reason that is being advanced from time to time is that we can't trace these people. And if you remember, this is what has been used by the old pension funds. They accumulated so much assets as a result of unclaimed benefits, which means they don't make efforts to trace people. Even they are reluctant to use the very same DEPA who was the employment agent for the mine across the country and also beyond our borders. DEPA deliberately set up offices to recruit for the mining industry. But now when it comes to time for people to receive what is due to them, then you find this situation. And indeed, we need to put our foot down to check what is it that they have done to trace these people. Have they put in any effort? And the danger is what Honorable Vigan is raising, that you now find some sharp-thinking, officials within government who are now thinking of outsourcing this work to some entity that must undertake tracing. That means they will take a chunk of this money under the pretext that they are tracing. Meanwhile, this could have been done much more easier through conventional means. So we would need to really get to the grips of this matter. And the situation is that they only also concentrate in areas where noises have been raised. They have been concentrating in Eastern Cape because noises came from there and ignored the rest of the country. And that's problematic. So we would need tomorrow, next week, Tuesday, to basically if they do come, to deal with them properly in terms of this trace. I see your hand is up, Honorable Matiwa.
Chairperson, I was also agreeing to what Bigani was saying, because, and what you just said about DEPA. The problem was that our people previously, even the past Dombas, did not have, was not like the one that we have, did not have the age. It was just numbers there. And the people also, when they were recruiting them, they were numbers. They had no names. It was numbers, that is why. So I do agree with what you just said, that they were just concentrating on the people of the Eastern Cape and not looking up across the borders of South Africa, because most of the people are from Mozambique and Zimbabwe, Lesotho, and Swaziland. But those people are not known. So that's the problem. If only they could really, really do their job, then people will be able to come up and get their money. Thank you.
Yeah, let's hope that on Tuesday we will indeed, as the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Labour indicates, we will find closure on the matter. And surely we need to compel them into action plan, and that they must account periodically. I mean, there's no reason why the matter could not be handled between the Department of Labour, the unions, and this company, eh?
The recruiting agency.
Yes.
There
has to be a solution there. I mean, they are not using the networks that are available across the country. For instance, for rural people, you have, you know, structures such as the traditional leaders. It's not a mammoth task to trace those people. If they are no longer alive, they are dependent for them to come forward and basically, you know, claim whatever is due to them. So. Because this problem is going to be exacerbated, you know, once we dilly-dally as Parliament and discuss it forever without putting our foot down and taking a proper decision. Okay, let's then move on. We've got half minutes before you. The first set, there are two sets that we must deal with. The first set is on the 26th, it's for the 26th of July, 2011. I hope you've got that. You remember this set, we said it must be withheld so that we can then find some time to read. So I would hope that we did indeed read through. I'm just going to advise to invite comments on page one, be it corrections, be it additions, be it anything. I remember here that we didn't have only one visiting member. There were two. Okay. Mangele, yes. Mangele was a visiting member as well. And there were three, basically. There was this other lady who left us. Besides Honorable Mabaso, Mabaso remained with us, but there is this lady who came in. She was sitting next to you.
Is it any time they really?
The perspective was, I don't know, it was even the Monday, there's not yet.
Is it from?
Hey? Because you know, we need to acknowledge people whom we have asked to come and assist us, so that they appear on the record. So you need to add these two, Mangale and this other honorable man. Right? Are there any other comments on page 1? Maba So, S-O. Right? Okay. Good. Page 2. Any comments there? Under point 2, Honorable Marais, seconded by Honorable Ligani, moved for adoption of the program. The program was adopted, unanimously adopted with amendment. We must remove one adopted. The program was unanimously adopted with amendment. So this second adopted should not be there. Now, within this page, I remember that we have agreed to do what we are doing today, that at every meeting there will be minutes that will be tabled. So you need to reflect that here. It was agreed that minutes of previous meeting must be tabled for adoption in the next meeting. You need after every item to summarize what was agreed upon in minutes, so that you don't have to go and find the resolving part at the end. Right? It was agreed that minutes of previous meeting must be tabled for adoption in the next meeting. All right. Any other comment on page 2 or on the number? Page 3.5 sentence number 1, 2. Sentence number 3. He also referred to section 26 of the NPRDA of 2002, which gave authority to the minister, which gave authority to the minister to initiate whatever that is. And then paragraph 1, 2, 3, sentence number 1, 2, 3, 3, 4. It was decided that other departments be involved in the process and this led to the TASTIM being established, comprising of the department. Let's name it the Department DMR. Department of any other comments, honorable members, on page 3? Page 4? Page 5? Bullet point number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Bullet point number 12. Miss B Tinto A and C. Miss B Tinto A and C. I think you have been writing here that the committee raised this and that and that. I don't know why this time around you've decided to single out Ms. Tindo and her party.
Yeah, I think
there
was also this
issue of minutes, that the secretary, when she writes minutes, she doesn't quote the names, but rather say a question was raised instead of mentioning the names of the people.
You say you're in agreement with the mentioning of the names?
No.
Or you say you're not?
I'm saying I'm not, Chairperson. I'm saying we said rather a question was raised instead of a particular person, a particular member, mentioning the member's name.
So we'll remove that. We'll remove that. The following bullet point, there's a tautology there. The committee noted that the Platinum Beneficiation Committee had difficulty in talking about a detailed beneficiation approach to platinum, and the absence of a broader discussion with beneficiation of platinum in the broader statute itself. Again, you're saying it did not constitute one of the major commodities discussed. So I think that sentence must be expunged, because the point has already been made. The one that refers to it did not constitute. Any other comments, honorable members, on the page number? He didn't bless you.
Sorry, Chair. Yeah, I don't quite understand the sentence itself. The committee noted that the Platinum Beneficiation Committee, the beneficiation, have a committee, because it sounds like it's a committee belonging to the beneficiation. Is it like that?
Yes, it's an industry appointed committee that deals with advising the department on the beneficiation of platinum. A number of members who serve in the board of Mintec and the board of GSM constitute that committee. All right. Honorable.
Thank you very much. I'm trying to check that.
Can you press your machine?
Oh, sorry. I'm trying to check on bullet 7. What are the department doing to ensure best use of skills developed? Well, it's okay.
Yeah, that's a question.
It's always a question.
Question
that was. Okay. All right.
comments on page 5? All right. Page number 6.
Bullet point 6.
Okay.
Sentence 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 line. The sentence is the realistic statement. Whereas the norm in industry of 1% of expenditure on payroll, there had been agreement in the department sector that at least of the next 3 years, many companies would raise this percentage to 5%. Is that a binding statement? Because if so, then it can be put that way.
It contained in the milestones of the mining charter.
That's 5%.
That's 5% by 2014.
Okay.
So that time frame of 3 years.
Then
what they have committed themselves to do.
Then Chair, I must stress that we need to follow that trophy. Because it looks just like a statement from and nothing is happening about it. Right. Then the next bullet point.
Yeah.
Can I make sense of the second sentence of it? There were small players, but markets were dominated by that player. Can I get an indication of relevance to the sentence? The next bullet? After the 5%, it says the department acknowledged the challenges of the prevailing anti-competitive behavior, but wanted to encourage competition in the iron and steel sector. There were small players, but markets were dominated by that player.
I'm sure here they avoided to mention by name ArcelorMittal.
But it makes you know what
it says. Well, it says there were small players, but markets were dominated by that player. What is it? Yeah, I think it throws me out. There were small players, but market was dominated by that player. Which player?
It's
1, 2, 3, 4. Second floor.
Second bullet point 7.
The
same steps on the second line as the second sentence. That's very repetitive. And the next sentence then says a new steel manufacturing concern might be established. Unfortunately, he was not at liberty to talk about this matter, which he had read about in the newspaper. However, from a policy perspective, the department wanted to encourage the establishment of another major steel manufacturing in South Africa. I have a problem with that paragraph. It's either in or out. And universities of the moment.
I'm trying to make out first this thing, the reference to that player. Whether the intention was not, there were small players, but markets were dominated by big player. By a big player.
Yeah.
So that player is not identified by a big player. A new steel manufacturing concern might be established. He was not at liberty to talk about this matter, for which he had read about it in the newspaper.
Thank you.
I think the last sentence should just be deleted. It's contradictory. So that last sentence, however, from a policy perspective, the department wanted to encourage the establishment of another major scheme of pressure in South Africa. It's not an announced policy. Because you're saying at the preceding sentence, he had difficulty in talking about something that it's like about in the media. The department has no direct relationship with the universities and the universities of technology. However, there was an indirect relationship between the department and the MQA. Through the mining charter, the department also gave mining companies credit if they contributed to human capital development by providing bursaries to universities, to university students. Yeah.
That mining companies credit.
Yeah, it's in the mining charter. Yeah, it's giving them credit. They're working on, there's what is called scorecard. They're working on
scorecard.
Yeah.
And another type of credit. It's not like a guidance.
Oh, no.
No, if you tell us the scorecard, then it's
different. So the scorecard. Okay. Those are what you formally know as technical.
But
it's the term that is used currently. They are referred to as universities of technology.
Chairperson, if you say universities refers to both,
yeah,
you don't have to go again and say University of Technology.
Mm-hmm.
It's just university.
Full stop at university.
Yes.
Okay.
Why don't we say in particular the university? Because it looks like it's a tautology, the university, the universities of technology.
No, you want to also differentiate. These universities are different. You've got your academic universities. You've got your technical, technological institutions. But I think what is suggested by Mama Tuela is right, that says relationship with the universities.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a basic wall.
Yeah.
Okay, any other comment on page 6? Page 7? Page 8. Good. With those amendments, do we accept the minutes?
Move for adoption.
Moved by Honorable Bigani and seconded by Honorable Tito.
With amendments,
yes. With amendments. to this other set, Wednesday, the 10th of August, 2011. Any comments on page one?
Should say the chairperson open the meeting and welcome all persons.
Are you now on page two?
Oh,
okay. Now let's entertain that. The chairperson open the meeting
and welcome all present. Officially open the meeting and welcome all present. Instead of welcome and then open the meeting.
Okay. Very well. Any other comments on the page? To page number 3. Any comments there? Bullet point number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Why did the trust eliminate the 110,000 for social development from the budget? As this did not seem to be in line with its vision, then why did the 70,000 be cut from the management fund? I think the sentence they should be saying, as this seemed to be, because you can't ask why it is cut and you then say it doesn't seem to be part of the vision. Why did the trust eliminate the 110,000 for social development from the budget? As this seems to be in line with its vision, and why did the 70,000 be cut from the management fund? Okay. Any comments on page 3?
I specifically raised the issue about employees that have been nominated by the Premier of the Northern Cape to serve as trustees. Now that should be added in here because it's not in here, it's from the discussion. And I raised the question because they've been paid as an employee of the state and then they're not allowed to draw trustee fees. And the response to the previous meeting, the one lady that was said, yeah, but she's taking leave. So if you take leave, then you're not representing the Premier's department anymore, so you can't. Now, that's not one of the employees. They sit there, you're presenting the Premier's department or the Northern Cape, and then you also draw additional salary. Inverted commas as a trustee on the same day, not on.
Okay.
I also ask about the income statement of the guest house in Monte Vista. Because I questioned that asset that I bought. In my view, it was purely bought for use by the trustees when they come down to Cape Town using legal people in Cape Town and auditors in Cape Town that I also questioned. Don't tell me there's not sufficient firms in Upington or Kimberley that I can use. I found it very strange.
Okay. Okay. Page number 4.
Page 4, chapter on revolution. Namakwa and Spanish. The right of the book, bottom of point 4.
On revolutions,
yes.
4. Point 4, yeah. What about that?
Namakwa.
The last line. Then it goes to page 5 in my. What am I missing? There's one bullet point, but I just want to check why in mine it flows over to page 2, the second bullet point. Do I have a different set to yours? All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Spelling of Namakwa. All right. Any other comments?
I just made the comment, but I don't know, it should be in there, maybe recording earlier. I said that the budget of 3 million, because I was asking this question, for 3 million rand for the trustees, as far as remuneration, travel, and accommodation is concerned, is far too high. You know, when we left that meeting, I went home and I think about this, and you can make the mathematics yourself. There's supposed to be 15 trustees, not all of them attend, but because one is now passed away, so it's 14. They sit with the trustee meetings every second month, 2 days. 2 days they work in physically when they sit at the trustees meeting. The other month, they're sitting on the other two committees, 1 day each. So they're working, it says 12 months, it's 12 multiplied 2, it's 24 days they're working. Divide 3 million with 14 people. They're earning a full-time salary like an employee in the state working 2 days a month. This is unacceptable, this remuneration that they're doing here.
How much?
Well, divide just 3 million by 14. Divide by 10, straightforward, it would be a package of 300,000 rand for working 24 days a year. That includes now travelling and accommodation and everything, but it's still, but then 300,000 a year for doing 24 days work. It's less than, it's 20 working days in a month that you work. And I'm telling you, I don't think they sit even in January and December, because that is 2 months that nothing is happening in South Africa. I found it very strange. They're representing the community that's in poverty, but they draw this highly, highly 3 million budget for them as trustees to run this trust.
I think it was agreed, honourable members, that the figure that was raised of 3 million is budgeted for. I think that gave rise to your further input, honourable Murray, that you would want to see the actual financials, which is now reconfirmed by honourable Lucas. Because you can budget X amount, and your actual expenditure might be less or more than what you had budgeted. So we will be informed by the actual performance in terms of intended that. And I think let's debate it at that stage. Remember last time, I've given an indication here that the work performed by these trustees, I think we need to internalize some of their responsibilities. When you look at their financials, which were submitted last time, they gave us the audited financial statements, which were unsigned, granted. And which run different years. That's where you were able to see that, in fact, these trustees in this trust, they are running a local government. They are building community halls, they are constructing roads, they are connecting electricity to communities, they are buying vehicles for the police, the police, and now, that's why we then raised with the provincial government our displeasure. That they seem to have shifted a bit from their main mandate of providing mostly bursaries for education and dealing with dire situations in terms of their communities. And of course, doing something that is tangible, that will be meaningful to their communities, because they now have taken over government responsibility. And so that's one set of concerns that were raised. And you said they must go back and look at this matter. That's why in their report now, they are telling us about processes that they are engaged in. If you take that responsibility, you are talking of almost full-time work that they must do, because you can't plan these things and sit back and not monitor. That's why I said in my closing remarks that the work and the responsibility they are charged with is a mammoth task that in entities, private entities for example, should be run by executive directors that are in full-time employment. Hence, at some stage, once we have dealt with their financials, we must call the provincial government to ask, why did they turn the beneficiaries trust into being an extended arm of government? Because in terms of what they're doing, you look at all these communities that they are working in, there's a whole list, if you remember, I think you still have those records with you. You would see clearly that local government plays no role, except simply, it was like in one stage, I don't know which honorable member raised this, who said it appears that provincial government works out a budget and hand it over to the trust fund for it to implement and execute. And then it was by the look of things, work that they're doing is that. So I'm saying we need to keep those responsibilities in mind when we look at this, because executives who run private companies, we all know, executives who run private companies, they earn millions. And compare the responsibility and the work that you've done. And you look at the situation in that province, you can't have somebody who's unemployed and say, come and work for free. It doesn't. You work almost full time, but you are rendering a service free because you are a trustee. So trustees are supposed to meet once a month and look at reports, but in this case, these trustees execute the work. I think we need to differentiate between those when we look at the remuneration package. You look at Pick and Pays of this world, one chap receives 16 million rand bonus payment. 16 million rand bonus payment. What does he do? He just reads reports and go and give talk, you know, strategic talk, strategic input, and all of that. And there's no sweat equity that is put in there. But he, because he's occupying a particular, you know, he receives that. Now. ESCOM CEO in the newspapers recently, if not yesterday, received 5 something million as a bonus. That's not salary. I'm saying when you look at these poor people in the NDFT, they actually execute what government should be doing on the ground, making sure that water is connected, electricity and all of that. So that's why at some stage, once we have seen their financials, we'll call in the provincial government and ask, what is your role? What are you doing with money allocated to you as provincial government in Bonamaho? Yes, Honorable.
Yeah, it will raise then serious questions about the municipal managers and the various directors of all the municipalities in that area, because that is their full-time job. They've been paid to do that type of job.
Precisely. Because when we call provincial government, they must give us account of why is this trust charged with this responsibility. Tomorrow they are going to say this trust must build houses. Tomorrow they are going to say this trust must construct roads. So, but of course their overall is the well-being of the recipients. But I think at some stage we need them to narrow that down and define to us what exactly does it mean. Does it end up in bursaries or what is it? Because in their own view, they are doing the good for the community.
Mm-hmm.
But then, in our view, they are taking over government responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't be
a... Do you have such a role?
Absolutely. All right. Any other comments on that page? And I think precisely the point that we raised, we said there that the committee appreciates the enormous burden on the trust fund in comparison to other similar trust funds in the mining provinces. Because you've got this very rich Kumba related trust fund. Can you still remember? Well run, well oiled. Its services, Northern Cape and Limpopo. Was it Limpopo or Northwest? one of the two provinces. But the difference with them is that they look squarely after the beneficiaries, narrow grouping of people. Even in Northern Cape, the Kumba Iron Ore Fishing, you know, trust is looking after those very communities within where Kumba is mining, and that's it. Government, if they want anything done, they request. So you see the difference between this trust fund and that. And that Kumba thing, the last we knew was it's worth hundreds of millions. And that's why it's running so smooth. And to an extent, we've requested them to share notes with this trust fund. But you know, in terms of how things are run out there, people would not want to share any kind of knowledge with others. Everyone is guarding his or her turf. Any other comments on page 5? Yes,
sir. The document handed, is it an Namakoland Diamond Fund Trust or is it a trust fund?
Thank you.
Thank you.
With correction. Yeah, I hope you're not bribing for the strike to end.
No, we second that. In fact, these are the comments that we were going to make towards the end. Given even the first set was quite comprehensive, and it captures the presentations, deliberations, and resolutions, which is important, because if there's any matter that would arise, it's easy to refer to the minutes. What is it that was discussed? What kinds of questions were posed? And what resolutions were taken? It's very easy. Because sometimes we may take what we're doing lightly. There might be an issue. We might be taken to court for a particular decision in a democracy like ours. So you can't remember 3 years, 4 years down the line when you are put on the box to basically say what is it that you have decided in that particular meeting. So that's why this kind of minutes help, because they give detail. But But also it helps us in terms of follow-ups. You are able to refer to those minutes in your file and then follow up either with the committee section or with the chairperson. What happened to that particular issue that we decided in this session? So it's much easier to deal with that. So we really second you in terms of the appreciation that you have made in terms of the compilation of the minutes. There's an issue here that I've seen. I don't know whether in this set of minutes, the trust should report, depending on the findings of the audit, or the audit committee will arrange a meeting with the Director General. No, it must be the other set, because I don't want this thing to be lost. I want you to note it, Norton. That is regarding the, oh yes, in the previous minutes, on the resolutions, the committee secretary together with the secretary to the chairperson should make an appointment for the chairperson to meet with the speaker regarding the subpoena of the Alex Koch Development Foundation. We must not forget about this matter. Very important. That's why we need this follow-up as the matter arises. That meeting is necessary, that it should be arranged so that those people at the ADFT must not relax and think that everything is now. Honorable members, I think that takes care of what we were to do today. And we'll be meeting on Tuesday in the joint meeting with the Portfolio Committee on Labour, and then meet on Wednesday at the public hearing. I think there are some documents, I don't know if you still have, but the committee section must give you the old mining charter, the amended charter, the codes of good practice, as well as the housing and living standard. Those four documents will be crucial to you for the public hearing. The old mining charter, the amended mining charter, the gazette on codes of good practice, the gazette on housing and living standards, because that's what we will be testing. So when people talk to those documents, we must not be found wanting. We need to be able to cross-reference and also asking questions to those that shall be presenting, because we're expecting mining companies themselves to come and showcase what is it that they've been able. Because the general complaint out there is that the mining industry is not transforming. The response from individual mining houses is that don't paint us with the same brush, all of us. We vary in degrees of implementing what is expected from us. Some have excelled. And for instance, you have been to Northern Cape, you've seen what success stories that were shown to you by Kumba Iron Ore in terms of its housing. And you've seen what success stories were shown to you in terms of the township development by Alexco, albeit the money was from the national government. But they were managing that process with resilience to an extent that it's called Alexandra Bay, which is going to be proclaimed, if not here proclaimed already, into a full-scale township and handed over to local government. So those are some of success stories. that companies are going to come forward and, you know, race with us. So there are those areas where we're going to have difficulty in basically putting our finger on the pulse in as far as the developments are concerned. So I'm saying, therefore, if you could circulate those documents within this week, so that members over the weekend familiarize themselves with those documents. Okay. The meeting, yeah.
Teacher, but I was just going to say that don't feel guilty when you finish early, you've done a good job.
to make sure that we take care of housekeeping matters and the administrative issues so that we don't leave anything outside. But the ANC numbers must remain behind.